Welcome to our session on Leading Like Jesus. Let me put the kettle on. So as we begin, let me ask you, what does that phrase mean to you? How does it make you feel? Why have you come to this talk? Is it because I said, let's put the kettle on? One of my friends, actually, she's here now, said, oh, will you be making cake? Will you make cake? And I went, well, depends how many people there are. So no, hence the sweets and the chocolates. That's just instead. So today we are, I can go back. I'm Babs, Babs Isaac, and I run the CAP, which is Christians Against Poverty, Debt Centre in Winchester. This is Alison Berry. She is the regional manager, so she covers the whole of the southeast, and is here to support and add her input as well. So today we're going to look at a bit of information about CAP. What is CAP? What's it actually stand for? It's Christians Against Poverty. We're going to look at statistics on poverty. Where is the poverty and brokenness in your community? How can you serve and bring restoration to those living with its consequences? What can we do about it? And the little enigmatic bit at the end about bells. You've got some beautiful postcards in front of you. They are for you to take home, but we will talk about that at the end. What on earth does that mean? It's just a little idea of practical things that we can do for those people in our community. So I'm going to hand over to Alison for the next bit.
Yes, so thank you for coming. And we are going to cover a little bit about Christians Against Poverty and what we do. But I think ultimately I did want to say that actually... Christians Against Poverty, we have a very clear mission and purpose, and that is that we want to serve and equip the church to help people in debt and poverty and to make followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we also believe really, really passionately that debt and poverty are not part of God's plan for his creation. And ultimately, he wants people to know about the debt that they all have and we all have that they don't have any chance of repaying. Mm. And that's why we're so passionate about the church. We're so passionate about serving people in debt and poverty and so passionate about helping people into a relationship with Jesus Christ through that as well. So we're not about social action for social action's sake. We're about integral mission, as we would call it, and helping both things. And actually the reality that we see in the UK today, some of the statistics here about the household debt that exists, average household debt of our clients coming to us, over £11,000. That is a death sentence for many people, literally. And to share the brutal reality that last year, one in two of our clients that came to us for debt help had either considered or attempted suicide before coming to us to help. And that is no way part of God's plan. He wants people to have life in all of its fullness in every way. And you look at a number there and you go, okay, that's £11,000, but that really is a sentence for some people, and we'll talk more about it. This is the number of debts that clients have when seeking, that's 12 creditors that are coming often on a daily basis. The reality is that most of these creditors have automatic calling systems, so they can literally call people on their mobile time and time again when they owe a debt. And this is just a statistic. So lots of these are statistics, but behind this is a person, is a family, and that is what's so important. And actually, the fact that we see so many people with priority debt, and by priority debt we mean things such as council tax, things like energy bills. It used to be that lots of people had sort of store cards and stuff, but actually it isn't. It's these really key things. And they often have very high consequences, like county court judgments and stuff. So when people are in debt, it's not something that can be swept away. They're having people pursuing them on a daily basis. And this just again gives you a snapshot that lots of people, where they borrow from. is credit card, and often that has a high interest rate, so sort of 29% or whatever, or you know whatever, even 17% is high. So yes, you know, the sort of the payday lenders of this world, fortunately, have been pretty much eliminated, but still people are in huge debt. You know, lots of borrowing out there.
As we look at this slide, my question to you is, how many of you have got a credit card? How easy would it be for you and I to get into debt? So the brutal impact, 77% of CAP clients experience, as Alison's already spoken about social isolation whilst in debt. 52% of parents have said that debt has negatively affected their children. Clients are anxious, they don't want to go out, they don't want to speak on the phone, they stop eating, they stop sleeping. Their minds are constantly worrying and feeling out of control. More statistics. Scared to open the post, scared to answer the door. And as debt coaches, that's what we experience. Even though we are there, they have stepped out and asked for help. They have reached out and said, please come to us, I need some help. We will go to them, and they are still too frightened to open the door, still too frightened to leave their homes. So we want to see change. We want to see change. The rise in unsustainable budgets, as you can read here, it's bonkers. So I'm not a financial advisor, I'm a financial coach. Up at head office, that's where the advisors sit. And they are seeing that one in two of the budgets that they are creating for the clients are unsustainable. That means that even if we help them get out of debt, they're straight back to square one again. They don't have enough income in order to carry on without being in debt. So there are some action that we as a general public can take in terms of systemic change. You can sign up to campaign with CAP. You can raise issues with your MP and your local councillors as well. So let's look at some of the demographics. What are the people who are getting into debt? So from that, you can probably just about see, I'm hoping you can see the numbers, 46% were aged 41 to 60. That's for working aged people. These people are working. It's not that they're sitting on their backsides thinking, oh, I can't do anything. These are working, hard working people. 87% are single adult households. Yeah. So these are the vulnerable people who already are struggling because they're on their own raising children and families. The high level of single adult households is concerning. It leads to that further spiral of isolation, lack of support, and increasingly poor mental health. What you can't see on this slide is that 79% are in rented accommodation. So again, that is going to have that impact on how they're going to pay the rent. Are they going to be evicted? All those sorts of things. Alison, over to you.
Yeah, and this is what I was talking about. Many people live in shame because of their debt issues, that they really do. And we know that for many people, one or two steps away from debt, and actually it could happen to many of us or to any of us. Often it can be a relationship breakdown, simply losing a job, or having to care for somebody, which means that you can't work as many hours as you were previously. So people really do wait a long time, and that's why the very personal face-to-face service that people like Babs and other debt centres offer is so important. When they've waited that long, they need some real emotional support as well as everything else.
Just going to add to that, that is one of the differences that CAP does compared to other debt relief agencies. There are plenty of others around. We work with them as well. But a lot of the others, or I think practically all the others, they have an office, they expect the client to come to you. Whereas we will go into people's homes. We will go into people's homes and meet them where they're at.
Brilliant. So, you know, I hope you can see just from those statistics that now more than ever, particularly in the cost of living crisis that we're working in, our services are needed more than ever. And we only run at CAP our services in conjunction with the local church, mm-hmm. because that's the only place where people can find real hope, real support, mm-hmm. and people to walk mm-hmm. alongside them on a journey. We literally only deliver them in partnership with local churches. So a little bit, I mean, you might know loads about CAP or you might know nothing, so just to give you a quick overview. This is just a glance in terms of our debt service. So last year, 2023, over 9,600 people were supported on their journey out of debt. And it's more than just the 9,600 doesn't really account for their families, their yeah. friends, their children, often released from generational debt as well, actually, in the impact. Over 2,300 people became debt-free through the work of our CAP debt centres over the UK, which was a 17% increase on the previous year. And we have 874 churches currently in partnership with us in the UK running Debt Help, Life Skills and Job Club, and a further 300 are partnered with us to run money coaching. But there is always more. In your welcome packs, there was a leaflet. If your church isn't involved or you know of another church that isn't involved, please do tell them to get in contact because we're always looking for new partners, always.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, so Alison's about to talk through a little bit some of those other services that CAP provides, so the life skills, the job clubs. Oh, hang on, I've missed one. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this is the way that our debt service works, is we have a completely free of charge phone line. People phone up and make the initial call. Somebody wonderful, like Babs, will give them a call, say, I'm coming to see you, is that okay? They'll have a home visit. We always go with a friend or a buddy, somebody they always go in twos. And visiting people in their own home, there's nothing to replace that because...
Yeah.
You will testify to seeing the reality when you do that.
This is it. You actually see them in their own homes, what is going on in their lives. And they'll have, some of them will have made that effort to, I've got to tidy up, someone else is coming. And others are in such a low place mentally, physically, that they can't, they apologize. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't, that's not why we're there. We're not there to judge. We're there to help them, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Debt advice is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority, so therefore Babs is not a debt advisor, mm-hmm. she's a coach and supporter, and so we have a trained team of debt advisors that work and put together the route out of debt for the client, so that is all done and authorised, and then Babs would then go back, see the client, mm-hmm. Tell them what their route out of debt is. And then if that was, for example, a debt relief order, which is a very common route out of debt, about 50% of our clients, then that would be done by our agents in head office as well, or if they're going to be repaying, we'd set that up as well. And the most importantly, the client is utterly supported until that moment that they're debt-free. They are prayed with or offered prayer. Mm. They are supported on that emotional journey, and they are introduced in many ways to God's life in all of its fullness, that is what actually he wants for them.
Yeah, I'll talk a bit about that later.
That's great. So a little bit of a snapshot about our other services. I won't go through these in detail, but we run job clubs. These help people into employment, as aim of the guest. That's very clear what job clubs are about. My husband actually is a job club coach at my home church, and it is an utter pleasure to help people who maybe haven't worked for a long time. We work with quite a lot of people who have not long arrived actually in the UK, often from Hong Kong and Ukraine, and just helping them into employment in a very different culture. And actually, the life transformation when somebody that's been out of work for a long time, the difference that it makes, that support is absolutely huge. So that's job clubs. We also run life skills, which help people, as the name would suggest, with some key life skills, everything from budgeting to cooking on a budget to communication skills. And it gives them a community where they can get support, often for skills that most of us take for granted, but they have never had that as part of their family life.
So one of the other services provided by CAP is money coaching. So that hones in specifically on budgeting, how to budget. So I myself am not just a debt coach, but I'm also a money coach. So that means I go out and teach people how to budget, how to set up a budget. That is usually, I tend to do it in 3 to 4 sessions, much more compact rather than the other services that we provide. Because obviously we want to see people out of debt in the debt service, but actually we want to stop people from getting into debt in the first place.
And then we've got another couple of other things that are available. All of these things are free. These are all free to access on our website, which is capitalpay.org. We've got a benefits calculator. Actually, it takes 10 minutes. The partner will turn to us. You could do this with anybody and say, actually, are there some benefits that maybe you didn't know that you might be eligible for? And it just takes you through a simple check. And we actually, since we launched this, have identified millions and millions of pounds of potentially unclaimed benefits. You know, often as much as a few hundred pounds a month for somebody, but they haven't
significant,
been claiming,
isn't it?
Significant. And we've also got some free, easy-to-access resources, steps to making a budget, you know, that you can download a budget worksheet. So, you know, if anybody is just thinking about doing that, doesn't want to go through a full course or whatever, go and have a look at those on our website.
It's
me or you.
Yeah, well, I've
skipped through these, but actually, capuk.org, this is where people come to find help.
I was going to say, so if you are looking to refer someone to CAP, go on the website. This is what the opening website will look like. And obviously, you then click on the relevant box, I need help with debt or I need budgeting. So if you were to click on I need help with debt, it then looks like this. You give in your postcode. Our CAP centres are allocated through postcode areas. You can fight over the postcodes sometimes. Or you don't, because actually the need is huge, really, isn't it? But this is what it will look like. So I was asked to share my story. So sit back, relax, I'll go put the kettle on. I won't, because there's too many of you. But you can, of course, enjoy your sweets, your cake, your chocolate, whatever it is. So as a CAP manager, what is my experience? Lives changed. Lives have been changed. People are released from that burden of debt. I had one client recently who said, it's a weight off my shoulders. And it was unbelievable. I went back and saw him just before Christmas. So he went debt-free, I can't remember, September, I think it was. And we say touch clients if they give us permission to. So we went at Christmas and I went to deliver a Christmas hamper to him. I didn't recognize him. He looked 10 years younger. 10 years younger. He said, yeah, it's the weight off my shoulders. Lives changed. I think of another client, not my client, it belongs to one of our other debt coaches. So I'm in a center, there's 3 of us. This particular client, the great thing about CAP, when you go and meet a client, you say, well, I'm with CAP, it's Christians Against Poverty. It's in the name, I'm a Christian. I'm going to offer to pray with you. Is that okay? 9 times out of 10, they're like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. So you pray with them. This particular client was introduced to church. I believe he's actually one of the next people to be baptized in our next rounds of baptisms. Really exciting, really exciting. It's not all a bed of roses, though. Don't get the wrong idea, okay? There are frustrations. There's chaos. There's mess of people's lives. The unreliability. You know, they don't have the paperwork. They're not there. They're not going to answer the door, even though you can see them twitching behind the curtains. You know, they're going to say they do something and they don't. Oh, I'll email it to you tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. A week later, you still haven't heard from them. You know, you're having to chase them for things. They have other issues to deal with, like we spoke about at the beginning. They've got anxiety. They have other mental health issues. They have that fear of opening the doors, about answering messages, your calls. That's all part of the mess of their lives that we have the privilege of being allowed into. Makes me think of one particular client who, you know, I went round to go and see her. We'd done the first appointment. She had a support worker with her, so sometimes we get referred through support workers. This time, support worker wasn't there. I was already, you know, I was like here with my laptop. Right, we're going to gather all the information we need. This is the second session with her, and I got there, and this poor woman, she was all over the place. absolutely all over the place. And her major concern for that moment was, I need to register my child. I need to make sure she gets to school. And I thought, there's actually no point in me, you know, doing my box ticking. She's not there. I'm not going to get anywhere trying to sort this out. I need to help her where she's at. So she's semi-dyslexic, struggles with the internet, struggles with all of those sorts of things. I thought, come on, I got my laptop. Let's do it here. Registered it for her. She could breathe. I said, you know what? I've spent an hour with her trying to sort this out. That's okay. We'll make another appointment. I'll come back. I'll come back. So it's a bit about recognizing who the person is in front of you. Yes, they're a client. Yes, I've got a job to do, but actually I need to be serving like Jesus. I need to be serving where they are at. So, you know, we talked earlier about actually officially you're supposed to have three appointments. You know, we go and do the first appointment where we explain about CAP. The second one is we take information in. The third one is we explain the budget. It's never three appointments. It's never three appointments. Because people's lives are messy. That's why they need that help in the first place. So our main desire, obviously, is that they need Jesus. They need Jesus. It's not just about getting out of debt. We know that. They don't know that. So we've got to tread carefully, though. But we know that only Jesus can shine that light in the darkness and drive out the darkness. Only Jesus can point them to the Father's love. Only Jesus can transform their hearts and their lives. So it's really exciting opportunity to go in and go, hey, I'm a Christian. Can I pray for you? Yes, no, that's okay. Is it all right if I don't pray for you now? I'll pray for you, you know, when I'm at home. That's fine too. Okay, like I said, 9 times out of 10, they're more than happy for you to pray. I've had one guy say, yeah, I'm a Buddhist. Okay, can I still pray for you? Yeah, that's okay. That's okay, all right. So what difference does it make having a CAP centre? Well, I think the fruit is people are starting to engage with church and faith and journeying towards a faith of their own. I must tell you another story. I've got so many clients, they're great. So we have all different ways in. So I started back in COVID, we set up a CAP cafe. I thought, this is great. All my clients, so this is my, I'm so humbled, not. I'm going to set up a cafe just for my CAP clients because they're isolated. I need to bring them together. I had 2 clients rock up. This isn't working. Lovely, Steve. It's like, keep going. Power through. Yeah, okay, we're going to keep going. Then we had nationally that warm welcome initiative in the winter. Okay, let's open this up. We're going to turn this CAP cafe into a warm welcome cafe. Have contacts with social prescribers. Oh, can I send you someone? Yeah, send them. This cafe has grown after the warm welcome initiative. So the winter season turns into spring. All the warm welcome stuff stops. Our group goes, can we carry on? Can we carry on? Yeah, we can carry on. Okay, stuff the CAP cafe. We're going to call it a warm welcome cafe. I don't know how many years later it is. 3, 4? We now have, almost on a regular basis, 20 people that are coming to CAP cafe. The reason I'm telling you this, I want to tell you about one particular lady. She's not a CAP client. But because of CAP, we have started this initiative. This lady was brought by a friend, came in, the first time, dressed from head to toe in black. Didn't say anything, sat in the cafe, came up to me afterwards. I'm not religious. That's okay, I'm not either. Yeah. What do I do with that statement? I'm not religious. That's okay, you're still welcome. The following week, she came without her friend. I'm like, wow, you're not religious, but you're still coming. She came up to me afterwards. I'm not religious. That's okay. That's still okay. You can still come. That's great. This lady came week on week, dressed from head to toe, never said a word. One day, I don't know how long she'd been coming, she came along and she has her issues. She has her mental health stuff going on. She gave me a card. Could I read it to the group? I'm trying to read it. I'm like, caught me handwriting. Okay, she said, so she written on behalf of her cats, because she didn't like to refer to herself. So she referred to herself in the third person. My cats, so she was saying, my cat mummy, and that's how she was, wanted to say thank you to the group. And she talked a little bit, I'm not going into too much detail, but about her family situation. And she said, this group, you're my family now. Wow. You're my family. Wow. Oh, not a dry eye in the group. So this is a couple of months ago now. This lady now comes on a regular basis. She never dressed in black. Mm-hmm. She's the most colourful lady. Wow. She's had red hair, orange hair, different coloured nails, different, honestly, entertaining. And the last 3 weeks, she's been coming to church. This has taken a year, a year's journey, I'm sure it's at least a year, watching this lady progress. She's been welcomed in to the church. It's a journey, it's a journey. So it's really exciting. Somebody keep an eye on the time because I could go on and on. So why is CAP such an excellent ministry to engage with? This is a quote from our new CEO, Stuart McCulloch. As frontline staff, you bring an orderly, trained mind and a heart for Jesus into situations of chaos, anxiety, and pain. When I read this, I thought, yeah, that's exactly that client I was talking about. That's exactly her. You tread so gently in areas that are both deeply private and full of fear to build a bond of trust. What a privilege we have. What a privilege we have to do this. And we go gently. You show remarkable levels of strength, perseverance, resilience to hold someone's hand, because that is what it is. It's a journey. This is not a quick fix, because we're not in it to get them debt free.
Yeah.
We are. But actually, we're in it to point them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're in it to show them the light that's on the darkness. So this journey may have setbacks, and huge destination brings hope, healing, and worth. So working with client gives us this opportunity to exercise some biblical pastoral principles that John Groves was teaching about the last couple of days and also talks about in his book. We can care for our clients personally. We intercede for them. We look after their physical needs. We provide them with basic bank vouchers. We might take them some food. We care for those isolated. And importantly too, with compassion, once we have built that relationship with them, we can speak the truth into their lives. We have that privileged position of being, they've opened up their hearts and their lives to us, that we tread carefully, but we can then show the light to them. I think over to you. I've talked so much. I'm going to let Alison say a bit now. Is it recording?
I think I've broken it.
Do we need some help? So the problem with having two people speaking is that you need two recording devices, and then the techie guys very cleverly marry the two together, but if one's off, it doesn't work.
I stopped. I've broken it.
She's broken it. Where my one's gone? Oh, mine has gone down here.
Is she where you're allowed?
If I hold this here, if I hold it, there we go, and you can talk.
Oh, right, okay. I think you've covered all of it. You've covered all of this anyway. You've covered all of this anyway, but actually, yeah, let's okay. Move on a little bit.
Okay, one thing I do want to say from this, though, is that obviously as a debt centre, we can pray with clients, but we need prayer too. We need prayer too, because, you know, we're not doing this in our own strength. We need wisdom. We need gentleness. We need calm. We need the strength. We need to not become frustrated with the time that it takes. Natalie spoke yesterday. Was it yesterday? It feels like for a lifetime ago, doesn't it, with the amount of information that we've had. But she talked about that slow growing of the oaks of righteousness. It takes time. It really takes time. We, as CAP coaches, we are dealing with saplings, with seeds. It's, you know, it's the beginning of their journeys. Are we okay? I'll just carry on. So what if you're already involved? What if you've already got a CAP centre? I can see some lovely CAP coaches and colleagues of mine already here. I'm on a roll now. So I had the caffeine. Sorry. Connections. Have you got connections that you can build? So like I said, the cafe that I started, that linked actually with social prescribers, people within the city where our CAP centre is. How can we make that grow? Pray into it. Do you need to start a CAP centre? If you've got a CAP centre, what about doing the job club, life skills. It's a new group. No. Could you volunteer? Can you promote the centre that you've got? How can you help your debt manager, your debt centre at all? Can you get other people excited about that passion that you have? What about leaders? Not looking at any in particular. What's your role? Well, can you promote? Can you encourage the congregation to get involved? Can you maybe volunteer as well? I know a lot of the leaders are. I'm not telling you, Steve, to volunteer. No, don't. Anyway, I'm moving swiftly on. So I was asked, what fruit have we seen? What fruit have we seen having a debt centre? So I've been part of the CAP centre in Winchester. I'm in my fifth year. Can you believe that? Coming up for my fifth year. What fruit have we seen? Well, like I've already said, we've made great connections within the city, from social prescribers to the radio to different organisations that also are working with the vulnerable. This is not we've got the answer to everything. It's about working together with other organisations. I've talked about we've seen the lives transformed. It's a slow process. It's a slow process. But the fruit salad picture, which I love there, is actually diversity. The diversity it brings into our churches. Natalie, I think, spoke about how, you know, she came in and felt so out of place in this white middle class church. And I know Steve would say this, that, you know, our church, 5 years ago, would have been a classic white middle class church, probably what Natalie was talking about. But now we have different social classes, different financial backgrounds, connections with different nations all coming into our church. It's really exciting. I think this is a lot more of what church is about and what heaven will look like. So, bells. What is this about the bells? I know some of you are thinking, what's she talking about? That was in the description, wasn't it? So as a possible action plan, so I'm publicly saying thank you to Benj from our church, who has provided and come up with this beautiful postcard, which you should have on your seats for you to take home. So this Bells is unashamedly copied and nicked from Churches Together in Eastleigh. I do have their permission. They have given it, said I could use it. I thought it's such a brilliant acronym to help me remember different things that we can do, okay? Different things that we can do in order to serve those in our communities. So the B is bless. No, hang on, I'm going to go back and first of all read the scripture. Deuteronomy. What does the Lord your God ask of you except to fear the Lord your God, walk in his ways, love him, serve him, and to keep his commands? All of those words are action words, aren't they? Fear, walk, love, serve. And they're all about love, aren't they? If I'm not doing them, am I actually loving God? I need to do as I say. Action. So, bells. B, bless. How can we bless those vulnerable people in our communities? It doesn't necessarily have to be through CAP. Obviously, I'm here because I'm the CAP Centre Manager, but thinking bigger picture, if you haven't got a CAP centre and you're not going to, or how can you be blessing those in your communities? Can you invest the time into the needs of those people? Eat. Everybody loves to eat, don't they? Who got excited when they saw the sweets and the chocolates on their seats? Yeah. It's what we do. We love it. And this is what the about putting the kettle on is take the time. People need time to be listened to build that relationship, to have that sense of community, that sense of worth. Each client or person that you encounter is an individual who is beginning to trust you with their story, and that takes time. Somebody comes into my house, first thing I say is, shall I go put the kettle on? Because you want to talk. When I saw the layout of this room, that's why I put these chairs over here, I saw the layout of this room, I was like, oh no, I've got to stand in front of all these people. I hate doing this sort of thing. I'd much rather sit down, put the kettle on, let me get my cup of tea, let's have a chat. That's what we do. That makes people feel at ease, doesn't it? If you don't drink tea, drink the coffee. Have something else to drink. Have something to eat. There's something about food that brings people together. Jesus did it. We should be doing it. L, listen. Who should we be listening to? The Holy Spirit. Let him guide you before, during, and after you encounter these people. Okay? Learn to be more like Jesus, that gentleness, the kindness, the humility, the wisdom, all the things that actually we've been learning about the last 3 days or being reminded of, that servanthood. Be a servant to all. The S is sent. I would say it's not just S for sending, but S for sharing. Share your lives with others. And a bit like, you know, sort of Natalie was like, choose... Don't go for somebody like you. Go and search for the ones that are different. We can learn a lot from them as well. Did you want to add something or? Yeah? Oh, okay.
I want to add something that I wasn't actually, I hadn't thought
planned.
About. Yeah. But one of the, scriptures that is really key to us is Isaiah 61. You'll know
yeah.
It's the one that Jesus chose to do. But there's something about that that is so close to my heart and what I see when I work with debt clients myself or other sorts of clients. One of the incredible things is when somebody that has been broken then becomes the restorer of others. And we often see that through CAP services and other things, that the person has been restored becomes the restorer of others. And it is something so precious. And I think it is always, you know, I say my role as leading CAP in the Southeast is to serve the church so you can serve those. And actually, oh, that's why I hold it. Sorry, with the motivation that they will become the restorers. I was just gonna read that before we go into questions. And you know,
first.
We do know the Spirit of the Lord is on me. You know, that's the prophecy because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor.
Yeah.
He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And then it goes on, and this is the bit that I love. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for the generations. The ones that have been restored become the restorers. And actually, as we look to serve those who are currently so broken, it's knowing that they ultimately get to ring the bell of salvation and get to help someone else be restored ultimately.
Yeah, it's good. So one thing I just want to add to that, or finally, is just... These are the Winchester bell ringers. That bell ringing isn't a job just for one person. It's teamwork, just like we heard earlier on. If we want to let the bells ring out over our communities, it's going to take more than one team, one person. More than one team leader, it's going to take a team. So if it's not us, then who? If it's not now, then when? So I'm hoping this is going to work. We've got a little video. I'm hoping it's going to work. I'm hoping we'll have sound. No, I don't have sound.
No, we've got subtitles.
Oh.
Yeah, you sort of move, you lose the spoken word bit though.
Right, let me go back to the beginning. Maybe I can read it as he's doing it. How's that? Can you see it? In this place we call home. Do you see the signs, the standard of living decline as yet another household falls below the poverty line? Do you see it? In this city that never stands still, so many at a standstill, anxious and unsure, as another brown envelope arrives through the door. Can you hear it? The murmur and the groans around propped up smile, another high interest loan, stolen joy, limited choices, stifled voices. Listen, can you hear it? Crisis, the cry is, as the cost of living rises, mounting debt, inflation, growing isolation. Can you feel it? As rent increases and food prices soar, there is an outpour of need, people struggling to feed their family, to heat their homes. Do you feel it? The weight of that decision to sacrifice your next meal in order to pay your electricity bill. The hidden cost, the price you pay just to get through another day. What do you do when your income can't see you through the month, unable to keep up? Too many expenses, it's become too expensive. When your budget won't stretch to the basic essentials, when every transaction is apprehensive, inadequate wages, the problem's extensive. What can you do, feeling like there's no escape, exploring even the darkest paths in the hope of finding a way out, needing more than just a handout, but a shoulder to lean on, eyes that see and ears that hear that you're still here. It's an epidemic, cracked at the root, the problem's systemic. As the wealth divide grows ever wide, white-knuckled, trying to hold on to the sides, trying to keep it together, something has to give. Tell me, is there a different way to live? Unsustainable budgets, expenses soaring, poverty arriving at new doors, your neighbour next door, you're working poor, food bank queues like we've never seen before. How do we respond? Local authorities supported by charities, volunteers and staff rallying, united against what's financially challenging. Christians against poverty, follow the call to see a life transformed and hope restored, a shift that brings a community healed, people drowning, thrown a life something with an understanding of what's real, a compassion, a heart, a church not apart but united to bring these things that remain, faith, hope, love. Christians against poverty, it's time to stand up and be counted. If not now, when? If not you, who? Powerful stuff, isn't it? Powerful stuff. Right, let me see if that will work. Let go back. Ta-da! So, any questions? We've got a few minutes left, haven't we, I think? Does anybody have any questions, either for myself or for Alison?
Yeah, I'll kick you off.
Yeah.
I'd probably, people have heard me say already, I'm part of church plant.
Yeah.
Therefore, resources small, but need
yep.
is big, right? We're really aware in Swindon that there is a lot of this kind of need. What kind of resource do we need in order to actually do CAP? Like, is this something we can work in partnership with the church, or is this a little team of... Not very many of us could do it.
I think I could answer yes to all of those questions.
Yeah.
So you could be involved in a relatively small, low resource in terms of budget, low resource in terms of people way. Money coaching is a really excellent way to start.
Mm.
You can train somebody for £55, And they can deliver money coaching. And in fact, I've got some little leaflets if you want to take one of those away and find out more about that. So that's one level. And actually, there's such a need. I mean, so many adults today say that they have no idea how to budget. Mm-hmm. It's a brilliant thing to just offer a really practical service to people. So that's one level. It is an absolute joy, I think, and a joy to God's heart when we see churches working together in partnership who've seen the needs of our community. And we have, as I say, we always work through GIS, and we have everything from one church running a debt centre and taking on board all of the costs and the effort that that needs, right through to actually in Guildford, it's a partnership of 17 churches.
Wow.
Who all come together in different ways to contribute financially, prayerfully, team-wise, etc. So every which way is possible. Our job clubs and life skills are relatively, I would say, inexpensive to get involved in. So yeah, in your welcome packs, you will have all had a leaflet with Doug from Welcome Church's lovely face. Don't let that put you off. But yeah, there's information. Just get in touch if you want to find out more. There'll definitely not be a big sales pitch or whatever. We just want to hear the heart of churches, of what you see, and how we can work together, and how we want you to build God's kingdom. And we would love to see something in Swindon. It's definitely
definitely
a gap.
So yeah.
That's encouraging.
To add to that, so. I'm a money coach, as I said, and I find that's a really, really good way for building relationships with different organisations. So I spoke to somebody in the break earlier, actually it might have been Dub, about money coaching. So, you know, we've offered it within the church, we've offered it out in the public. The response wasn't great. Now, it might have been the timing. What we have found, or I found, is that offering it to certain groups. So I've run the money course for a bunch of Ukrainians in the city. I've run it for homeless shelter. I'm running it partly for vulnerable families. So it's targeting specific groups. That raises your awareness, your own awareness, as well as awareness of other people of you. By your awareness, that's what I mean, within the city. So that's a good way of starting things. We obviously, in Winchester, we're a big centre. We've got 3 coaches. We do it out of Hope. Eastleigh, for example, I know their centre is a group of churches together. So, you know, if you wanted to go and speak to one of the Eastleigh guys, they'll be able to tell you how they do things, because it is a little bit different to if it's just one church, I think.
Yeah, I would echo that in terms of running it with groups. So I've been a money coach, actually, for 10 years. It's how my journey with CAP started. I thought I'd always be a volunteer with CAP. I had no idea that God had other ideas for me in the last couple of years. But yeah, I started that and used to do it in the church, I still do with food bank clients. Actually working with specific groups really helps to bring sort of safety and trust that this is a group that they know. I've even taken money coaching into a women's prison. And I think the biggest thing with starting something, whatever it is that the biggest thing that I knew is that or experienced is that through that God broke my heart for what broke his. And challenged many of the preconceptions and some of the judgments I would have made about people and their situation. So actually expect it to change you and the team and the church as much as it changes the lives of those around you.
Bring it
on. Yeah. Great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Can I just say, we're in Billingshurst.
Oh, okay.
And we've had money coaching for many years, but we're just starting to look to see if we can partner with the Horsham Debt Centre. And we heard recently that quite a few of their clients actually live in Billingshurst, because we're Horsham District. And so we're starting now to see if we can get some befrienders.
Brilliant. Ali from Horsham?
Yes. I think it's going to build.
Yeah, like that's really good. That's exciting.
Sometimes we've had a good course, other times we've advertised them and no one comes, and it is difficult. It's a good way.
Persevering. It's a way of putting your name out there, of offering services, isn't it? And I mean, you know, money is such a prickly thing, isn't it? you know, we're talking, I know we were joking about being very British and having cups of tea and tears. We don't talk about money. We don't talk about debt. It's really awkward. And partly, you know, that's why I'm saying, let me put the kettle on, because it just puts people a little bit at ease when you are talking about tricky subjects like that. And the budgeting course is another way of getting into, okay, because we talk about how to build a budget, but part of the course is also, well, if you are in it, there's something you can do about it. And of course, you've already taught them, you've had one or two sessions talking about building a budget, so they can get an idea of what you're like. You're already building that relationship with them, so it opens things up. Yeah.
I was just going to ask if you've got any ins with any schools, because you know that debt starts before,
yeah,
you know, the learning or not learning about it is early, so
yeah.
I just wonder whether that's...
I'm a ex-primary school teacher, so I'm like, that's where I want to go, absolutely. So the money course is available, or was, well, they've just revamped it last year, correct me if I'm wrong, Alison, but they just revamped it last year and provided new materials. And I know, so they did previously have specifically for schools, shall we say, they had a package, if you like, and I think they're in the process of revamping that.
Yeah,
so I am itching. Yeah.
It's also a youth one. That's the one that I've got most experience of. I've done a lot of youth, and actually I absolutely agree. So I do,
yeah.
I often go in and do a PHSEE.
Yes.
There's probably some more E's.
PCHE. Yeah.
PCHE day.
Yeah.
4 year tens, I do that every year in one particular school.
Yeah.
And I know that it's sad. It's great that I'm there and I'm invited in, but it's sad that it is probably the first and only teaching they have on budgeting,
yeah,
in their school career.
Mm. Yeah.
I just think they know about absolutely everything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have more sessions about some things I won't mention in this forum than they ever do on managing money, which we all have to do.
Yeah. I mean, if, you know, a way of thinking of, I don't know what your church is like or your, you know, the community, but, you know, I see at the moment quite a lot of younger folk, so they're 20s, so yes, because they haven't been taught it in school, because of the communities that they are in, they haven't been taught it at home, they are moving on and don't know how to budget. So, you know, offer it to the students, offer it to your 20s, to your 30s, as a way, you know, everybody needs to learn how to budget, really, don't they?
Yeah, and the new material actually is really, really accessible. It was all redone with new videos and actually even works for student age and stuff. Really, really accessible. And even the people that it features are people from, they're probably aged.
Very diverse, aren't they?
Yeah, very diverse in terms of what they're doing in life, from retired to part-time students.
Yeah.
You know, really talks to the principals.
What I like about the new material is that you're not bound by the videos, actually. So, you know, I'm taking it into hostel, refuge type people, and to be honest, the videos aren't for them. They switch off. It's not where they're at, but you can use the materials and adapt it. You can teach them what is in the video at their level. So it's a really good, I really like it. Yeah. We've got 2 minutes, folks.
Yeah.
2 minutes, go for it.
So stepping back from specific individuals.
Yep.
Some of the issues they face are systemic. You have access to raw data.
Yes.
Real examples. Is any of that shared at local government or national government?
Everything. We have
right.
actually.
So a lobbying campaign.
Yeah, so we do. We have an external affairs team. And actually, one of the reasons that we do campaign is we campaign to change those systemic issues,
yeah. Yeah.
Both for our current clients and those in the future.
Yeah.
We have teams in Parliament last week. We regularly run campaigns. If you're interested, you know, again, look at our CAP website. You can sign up, particularly in the run-up to what is very likely to be an election year. We will be trying to put poverty on the agenda, you know, for all of the party manifestos, etc. It's really important. And also importantly, the only reason we earn the right to campaign is because we have all of that data. So the real lived experience that, you know, people like Babs would feed in goes to say this is a real issue.
Yeah.
This person, who obviously we don't name, only has £1.17 to spend on their food in a week once we've got them out of debt.
Yeah.
That's the reality. So we really do. It's really important, and you know, we have a biblical mandate to speak up in this area.
Yeah.
Just saying, just to support on this, there's an excellent annual report which comes out this year.
Climate report comes out in May, and it contains all of those things. So all the things that we quoted there about
from last year.
One in two people have considered or attempted suicide, for example. That's from there. The other resource I've got with me, just as we're finishing, is that I have got a copy of Cats. It's basically our biblical mandate. It is a story we can't ignore that explains our heart. It's got studies. So if you are interested in exploring more about what God says about poverty, please do have a copy with my blessing.
Yeah. Lovely. Great. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming.